Have you ever gazed up at the night sky, marveling at the stars, wondering, are we alone, truly alone in the universe? Today we investigate a mystery that transcends the cosmos, challenging our beliefs and the very fabric of our faith. Recent headlines in Hollywood movies have captivated millions with tales of unidentified flying objects and extraterrestrial beings. But beneath this fascination lies deeper spiritual truths, a spiritual battle, one that pits truth and error, one that pits light and darkness, one that pits the Word of God and the deceptions of Satan. Now, when you look at what's going on, there seems to be a mind conditioning in the media, for example. Recently, in 2023, there have been a number of movies, books, and other media productions on aliens, extraterrestrial beings, and on UFOs. It seems that many of these plots show UFO beings in some way delivering individuals on Earth. Let me give you a couple examples. Roswell delirium. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not a movie buff at all. But I'm interested in what's going on, so I've read some of the descriptions of a couple of these movies. Roswell delirium talks about the world hit by a series of nuclear attacks and the desire to find a land of healing from the radiation. Another movie published, put out, 2023, titled No One Else Will Save You, tells the story of a young woman's loneliness and how she finds security and hope in these alien beings. Now, the government has jumped into the act in this past year, has produced a report on UFOs. Incidentally, in 18 of 21 purported sightings, the government has said, we've seen things that are not affected by wind, things that move in strange ways. Now, in an era marked by conflict, war, suffering, and disease, our world is searching for solutions. And the Bible provide some answers. It gives us some insight in what may be taking place. The first thing you want to notice is that in the Bible, there are cosmic beings. They're called angels. And the Bible is full of stories of angels. In Hebrews chapter 1, and the Bible tells us in verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool, contrasting the angels with Jesus? Then it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that will inherit salvation? So the Bible talks about real heavenly beings, angels. Daniel looked up in heaven and he saw 10,000 times 10,000 of these angels. One of the functions of angels is to minister to those that will inherit salvation or God's people. Think of angels appearing to Abraham, ministering to him. Think of angels hastening Lot out of Sodom. Think of the angels that appeared to Daniel in angelic vision. And think of the angel Gabriel that appeared to Joseph and then appeared to Mary. So these are good angels. But the Bible also tells us that there's a cosmic conflict in the universe, a struggle between good and evil. No book in the Bible describes that cosmic conflict as exhaustively as the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 12, we find that cosmic conflict described in Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. They did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. So the Bible talks about this cosmic conflict, this intergalactic struggle, this great controversy between good and evil. And it says there are good angels that minister for our salvation. But there's Satan, a real being once called Lucifer, who was cast out of heaven with one third of the angels. And there are evil angels. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness in heavenly places. So you find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So there is this conflict between good and evil. But what might Satan be doing with all this emphasis on extraterrestrials and aliens in the press, in books, in movies, in Hollywood productions? What might be taking place here? Could it be that the devil one day will appear on earth as an angel of light with his other angels to deceive humanity? That should not surprise us for two reasons. First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, we read these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. The Bible describes Lucifer or Satan, this fallen being, not as a demonic being in a red suit and horns and pitchfork. Not at all. It describes him in a different way. Satan may be trying to condition the minds through media of a master plan that he has to deceive humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. No wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Will he come to earth to deceive humanity one day? Let's look. Revelation chapter 12. Once again, Revelation chapter 12. And we're looking there at the mighty deceptions of Satan. And we want to see how to prepare for those deceptions. Look, Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice you, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea. Why? For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. Certainly this applied to when Satan was cast out of heaven. But it specifically applies, the Bible says, to the last days of Earth's history, when Satan knows that he has a short time, as society becomes more entangled in fascination with UFOs and extraterrestrial life, we're faced with the pivotal question: are we witnessing a mere cultural phenomena, or is this part of Satan's master plan to deceive humanity? Now, let me be plain. The devil is preparing the minds of people for his final, almost overmastering deception. On a troubled planet and consumed by conflict and war and suffering and disease and heartache, men and women are looking for a solution outside of and beyond themselves. Now, Ellen White writes with prophetic insight, commenting on Revelation 12, verse 12, that the devil will come down having a short time to deceive. Notice there's a book called Selected Messages, book 2, page 394. She says, if men are so easily misled now, how will they stand when Satan shall personate Christ and work miracles? Who will be unmoved by his misrepresentations then? Professing to be Christ when it is only Satan assuming the person of Christ and apparently working the works of Christ. Now imagine this. A being of dazzling brightness appears in New York City, Madison Square Garden, appears in San Francisco, appears in Chicago, appears in the great stadiums. And imagine this being of dazzling brightness raises his hands, speaks soft flowing words, words of so-called love and peace. contradicts the Bible, but works miracles, works signs, works some wonders. Then there are false healings that take place, and men and women are deceived. But this being says that the law of God has been changed. This being says that it's unnecessary to obey God, that there's going to be a great cosmic revolution of peace and love and joy and a great revival. You say, impossible. Listen again to the book Great Controversy, page 624, as the crowning act. As what? The crowning act. In the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. What does Satan do? He makes it appear just like Christ has come in different parts of the earth. Satan will manifest himself among the men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. The shout of triumph rings out upon the air, Christ has come, Christ has come. Is it Jesus that has come? No, it's a being of dazzling brightness who appears at different places in the earth, claiming that he is Christ. I continue the reading. The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him while he lifts up his hands and pronounces a blessing on them as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth. His voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which his Savior uttered. He heals the diseases of the people. Now listen to this. And then in his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday and commands all to hallow the day which he has blessed. You may want to read that whole chapter in the book Great Controversy. You find that particular quote on page 624. See, this ultimate deception aims to deceive the very elect. What is the resolution? The resolution is there is hope. The resolution is that the solution to Earth's problems doesn't lie in some cosmic being from outer space coming and landing upon Earth. It lies in the return of Jesus. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 1 and onward, said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And Jesus says, "I will come again." Jesus said he's going to return. Isaiah chapter 25 gives us this specific instruction. Isaiah chapter 25. And we look there at verse 9. "And it will be said in that day, this is our God. We have waited for him. We've not accepted the false Christ. We've not fallen for the deceptions of Satan. We've not been taken in by the miracles. This is our Christ. We have waited. This is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have done what? We have waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation." How do we know the difference between the true and the false? Satan can never counterfeit the way Christ comes. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7, Jesus says through John, "Behold, he comes in the clouds, and every eye will see him." Jesus is coming not to appear at this point or that point or this point. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5, 12, and 24, "Behold, false prophets will come, working signs and wonders, saying, 'Lo, here is Christ and there is Christ, but go not forth.'" The instruction of the Bible is clear. Christ is coming, every eye will see him. Psalm 50, verse 3, the Bible says, "Our God comes and will not keep silence." Satan can't counterfeit that. Here's one thing he's for certain can't counterfeit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." The devil cannot counterfeit the resurrection of the righteous. He can't give them immortal bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 54, this mortal shall put on immortality. The devil cannot do that. He cannot give immortality because he does not have immortality. The promises of God are sure. Christ will return, not in some quiet visitor clothed in deception, but in glory and triumph, visible to all. To stand firm against deception, we must anchor our hearts in God's word. Must recognize that the devil is going to deceive by signs, wonders, and miracles. We focus not on those spectacular wonders, but on the truths of Scripture. Let's walk in the light that God has given to us, anchoring our faith in the cross of Calvary. In a world searching for answers, let's remember, our hope does not come from some cosmic being, some fallen angel in the far reaches of the universe, with some alien descending from earth to solve our problems. It comes from our Creator, our Redeemer, and Jesus Christ, our coming King. As we await His return, may we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and not let the things of this earth squeeze us into their mold. Now, if you've been inspired to deepen your faith as you've watched our YouTube program today, if you've been inspired to give your life more fully and completely to Jesus, if you've been inspired to fix your mind on the Word of God, share this video with somebody else. Bless them with what you have been blessed with. And if you've been inspired with our videos, subscribe to our channel and weekly receive the blessing of heaven. But most of all, right now where you are, open your heart to Jesus. The deceptions in the last days will be overmastering. And none but those who fortified their minds with the truths of Scripture will stand. But all the demons in hell cannot take out of Christ's hands that man, that woman, that makes their decision to follow Jesus and fills their mind with the Word of God. Christ and Christ alone can keep us faithful in the crisis ahead. And the Word of God and the Word of God alone can keep us from deception. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you with all our hearts that the Word of God reveals the truth of God. Knowing your truth, believing your truth, living your truth, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be free from deception. In the hands of Christ, there is nothing to fear. And we thank you that Jesus defeated Satan on Calvary's cross. He will defeat him in our lives, and he will vanquish Satan in the last days. May that hope fill our hearts now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.